Good morning. We'll be calling to order this Wednesday, August 27th, 2014 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Ater-Taylor, who will be at the controls for the hearing today as executive secretary. I'd like to begin with a few bits of background information, some general information on the order of presentation. The project sponsor, who's either the applicant and or the owner of the property, will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration on posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if there's any public comment in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public, and at the end of the hearing, we either make a decision today or continue to a future date or take the matter under advisement and request additional information. There are two items on the consent calendar today. These are items that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of these two items, please step forward. Otherwise, they would be granted after they are called. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C, it states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, we do have a fairly sizable backlog in having decision letters issued up to 2 months from the date of the hearing. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important because the decision letters actually carry with it the appeal rights. And so there's an appeal within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss the case, we would respectfully request that that be done outside of the hearing so as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, September 24th, and audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And then we can move on to, we have actually an item for continuance first.
We have an item consideration to be proposed for continuance that will be to be continued on Thursday, October 23rd, 2014 at the regularly scheduled weekly planning commission hearing at City Hall. This is a Thursday. Item number one, case number 2013.1652V312 Green Street, rear yard variance sought.
And so this was continued from last month's calendar because a discretionary review had been filed. It came to my attention yesterday that staff was working with the parties to find an alternative hearing date other than October 23rd, possibly October 16th. Is there anyone here for this case for 312 Green Street? So seeing none, I think we'll just go ahead and continue it to October 23rd. And if it is rescheduled to a different date, we will renotice for that variance, and we can move on to the consent.
We have two items in our consent calendar. Item number two, case number 2014.0571V, 3652 22nd Street, rear yard variance sought. Item number three, case number 2014.0385V, 70 Martha Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
Is there anyone here to speak on either of these two items, 3652 22nd Street or 70 Martha Avenue? Otherwise, if there's no public comment, these two items would be granted. So is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment on these two items, we close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variances and move to the regular calendar.
Moving to regular calendar, item number four, case number 2014.0425V, 981 Grove Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Tim Crudo. I'm the homeowner at 981 Grove Street, where I've lived for 15 years. I'm a native San Franciscan. I want to thank you for your time today. I know over the last few months we've been working closely with your staff, as well as Historical Preservation and others, and we appreciate that on a number of different issues, only two discrete issues of which are up for discussion today, so we're going to focus just on those two issues this morning. And let me introduce Phoebe Lamb, who's the architect, and we'll talk about the substantive issues. Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much. The two items that we need a rear yard a variance for is the first floor rear addition, that is one story, and then the deck guard wall that is along the property line, also in the rear yard. As you can see here in the graphics, this is the existing site plan. As you can see, the house is situated away from the front setback. A portion of the rear, the back of the house is within the rear setback, but it's existing nonconforming. Here is the proposed site plan. As you can see highlighted in orange, that is the location of the first floor rear addition. And along this line here, where there is a straight orange line, is going to be where the first, the one-hour rear wall, that is going to be a guard wall of the deck. We really feel that this particular property has some unique circumstances in which it makes it difficult to improve the property overall. First, being that the house is actually smaller than most of the homes in the neighborhood. It is currently about 1,100 square feet of habitable space. Both the houses lining kind of to the west of the property along facing Steiner Street, and also houses across the street on Grove, and also to the east side are about 2,400 square feet to about 8,000 square feet. The property is also located in the Alamo Historic District, and because of that, it's really imperative that we preserve the historic front facade. As you can see in this particular graphic here, the front facade is actually set quite a ways back from the actual setback. So, you know, whereas in other properties, we could possibly infill this area, because it's a historic property, we won't be able to really touch the front facade. Now, when going through our C of A application, there was a recommendation for us to restore the historic bay in the front of the house here, in which we had actually decreased the size of the existing garage by about 40 square feet in order to do that. So we're actually taking more square footage from the front. The lot dimensions of the property is also a little bit unique in that, one, it's actually smaller of a lot than the adjacent lot. So here you can see it's actually a double lot on the east side of the property. And then on the west side of the property, we actually don't have a property that fronts the Grove Street. These are all property fronting Steiner Street. So whereas other properties have the ability to use averaging in the back in order to set their new back buildable area, we're unable to do so in this specific case. The house is also on a severe slope. Here is the existing portion of the house here. This is actually where the center line of the curb is versus where the existing house is. So because the buildable height is set from the center line of the curb, we're actually very limited in terms of how tall we can add vertically also. And that's, I think, presents some unique circumstances for this specific lot. We do also feel that the rear yard first floor addition and the guard wall, which I'm going to show right now. This is the actual proposed rear elevation, in which you can see here, this is the subject property. These are the neighboring properties in red outlined. This rear addition here is actually quite small. It's only about 10 feet tall and pulled back from either of the side property line. The 1 hour rated wall here, which is actually a guard wall, as you can see there, is actually within the footprint of the existing building, and it's actually repurposing an existing portion of the wall into the new guard wall. So it's not actually adding on top of it or increasing impact in any way. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. So it's my understanding from staff that there was some concerns from neighbors who reside on Steiner about the project, but it seems that those concerns were largely limited to the vertical addition and nothing related to the rear yard variance.
Yes, we've been meeting with the neighbor and also trying to work with neighbor on that specific issue. There is also a discussion about retaining wall because we are excavating down, that there were some concerns in that regards, and I think we're still in conversation about that specific issue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
See if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 4 for 981 Grove Street. So please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
All right. It'd probably just take me one. My name is Frances Camper, and I live on Steiner Street in one of the Painted Lady houses there. And I have a concern. They want to go down 6 to 15 feet. Digging down from my property, which is just maybe this much higher than there is now, and I have a terrible concern about that. I also have concerns about going up and going down. It's now a one-story house, and they want to make it 3 stories, but I think that you're not talking about that now.
That's correct. So this is just limited to the minor expansion at the rear.
Right, but they will probably have to go down to dig to make a foundation for that.
I think the project sponsors, architect can address that, but I think it's minimal excavation for the work that is subject to the variance.
So then when will the rest of the conversation be held?
So there'll be a Section 311 neighborhood notification, which is a 30-day notice to owners and occupants within 150 feet. So you would receive notice of that. That should be forthcoming. I think that the materials have been submitted, so that probably be issued in the next week or a couple weeks.
Thank you.
And then you'd have the ability to nothing is precluding you from discussing this with the project sponsor now, but
Right. During
that 30-day notification period, you'd have the ability to file a discretionary review and have the matter heard before the Planning Commission for their consideration.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item on 981 Grove Street? So, please step forward if there is any. Assuming there's no more public comment on this item on 981 Grove, so project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal, and perhaps you can address any excavation that's required for the purpose of this variance.
Sure. I'd like to show this just for clarity in terms of graphics here. This is the existing house. If you can see in red, those are the houses that are on Steiner Street. The red is actually the fence here that is current. And this is probably about where the grade is for the neighbors. And this area is actually already an existing basement. So we are doing some excavation down in order to have a kind of a side yard here that you can access from the garage. But it's not that much further than the existing basement right now. I do want to point out that this is where the rear yard addition is on the first floor. So it's actually pretty minimal in terms of being able to seen by neighbors on both of these properties. And we've had no real issues for other neighbors on these two properties here.
Thank you. And you have submitted the building permit application, which after Planning Department review will go on to the Department of Building Inspection.
Yes,
for all proper
we had to do the update on the 311 material because it had expired in terms of 6 months.
Right.
So we'll be submitting that actually this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. So with that, close the public hearing on this item. Considering that the subject property does have a substantial front setback, it is, as noted, a historic property. The Historic Preservation Commission has weighed in. They recommended staff changes to the project, which really did not affect the variance. They're more related to changes at the front. Do you find that that imposes an exceptional, extraordinary hardship on the or circumstance on the property that would have a hardship for the project sponsor to develop? It's a very minimal addition, which the HPC has found complies with the requirements of the Alamo Square Historic District. So as such, you're inclined to grant the requested variance and move on to the next item.
Item number five, case number 2014.0340V, 132 Coleridge Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Donnie Bendel. I'm the owner of the property. What we're trying to do is a remodel of the kitchen and bathroom on the first floor. And when we went to go file for permits, they said that the bathroom area is considered a legal addition for some reason, and it falls into the too far into the rear yard. So the existing and proposed site plans are pretty much exactly the same. We're not trying to add anything or go out further. If you want to see a picture of what it really looks like. So that back portion extends another 12 feet from the original building into the rear yard. The remaining rear yard, I think it said it's about 23 feet 9 inches left for the backyard. Still a good sized backyard. So,
thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what else I can say.
How long have you owned the property?
I've been there for 15 years, lived there for 15 years.
And do you have any idea when that addition may have been
constructed? You know, I looked at the old Sanborn maps, and I got the 1886 one. The original building was there, and then the 1900 one, it kind of shows an addition. If you want to see that, I got the maps.
If you can maybe just make sure staff has those if they don't already. But
That's why I didn't realize why we needed. I don't know if there's permits from back in 1900, so I don't know how
a lot
the
of them,
it was there.
A lot of them burned up in 1906.
Yeah.
But, so in terms of the determination that it was not a permitted structure was one that was made by the Department of Building Inspection. And are you going through a condo conversion?
No. We live in the whole building. We use the whole building.
So you were just...
We were just wanting to remodel our kitchen and bath, and then when we went to get permits, the lady at the building said that's not legal. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for rectifying this. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number five for 132 Coleridge Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the subject property has existed in this condition for quite some time and with no apparent adverse impact on any of the abutting properties and the property owner seeking to legalize this condition. We can move on to the next item.
Item number six, case number 2014.0099V, 731 Wisconsin Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? Thank you.
Good morning. Henry Cornell was project sponsor for this property. The owner's here is also one of the neighbors to speak in support of it. Ms. Pacheco had built this therapy room at the back of her property, unknowing at the time that there was permits required and all that. She's totally unfamiliar with that. So it was we're at the stage now. We would like to get this approved. So that's what we're here for, and I'll have one of the neighbors who's in a hurry to leave to speak right now and support it. Can I do that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Erica Delacourt, and I have been living on Patrol Hill on 795 Wisconsin Street since 1978. And first I want to say that I think every neighborhood needs somebody like the owner of 731, Madeline Macheco, because the first, 15 years I lived there, there was this derelict structure at 731. And it was wonderful to see it restored to its former Victorian glory without any enlargement, no second story, no expanded footprint. Really a little gem. And so I really valued her appreciation of the neighborhood. Having restored a house. Also, I recently visited her backyard and I saw the structure in question, and it's very modest, very much in keeping with the house, very very unobtrusive. In fact, from my rear view in my house, I see a play structure that is a lot more visible. And I think especially when this structure, if it's completed and has its living roof, will be all but invisible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item on 731 Wisconsin?
Excuse me.
Sure.
Yes. Hi, I'm Madeline Pacheco.
Oh, sure. If you could use the other microphone, please.
I am Madeline Pacheco, and I'm the owner of the property. But I have the support of several of my neighbors who've made a real effort to be here today. So I'd like them to talk first, if that's okay.
Certainly. We can go through public comment now.
Okay.
My name is Judy Guerrero. I live at 728 Wisconsin, and I've lived there for a long time and known the owner of this property, and I think what she wants to build and has started to build is very appropriate for the property, and I know that she needs it, the spa part for her back, and I think it's unobtrusive. I've seen it. I totally support the project.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Yes, my name is Mary Catherine Law, and I live at 759 Wisconsin, which is about five doors up from her property. I've been, a neighbor all my life. The property before was derelict. Nothing had been done to it as long as I can remember. And Ms. Pacheco has improved the property. It's an asset to the neighborhood, and the proposed structure is very unobtrusive. I've seen it several times, been in her backyard, and as Ms. Delacorte said before, it's very unobtrusive and it is an asset to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jane Goldman. I'm a neighbor on Arkansas, which is a block over from Wisconsin, and I too have seen Madeline's. I can only speak to number 4 and 5, which is it is a great asset to the neighborhood. It's a lovely, subtle structure. It's not visible from our green belt, and the improvements that she'd made to the property and to the backyard are remarkable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Donna Candela. I live across the street at 722 Wisconsin. I live in a little tiny cottage. I've been there for 40 years. Madeline has lived across the street and been a charming neighbor. And her home is beautiful. And it's quite a contrast on our street to what is presently happening in the development of the multi-million-dollar 3- and 4-story homes that have been erected. And there are those of us on Wisconsin Street who've been there for decades and are committed as we get older to being able to live in a very habitable place. Madeline's home is a garden, and this just nestles in and is absolutely exquisite, even though it hasn't been able to be completed. I heartily support this project, because as you get older, you do need modifications to help you live in place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Scott Fong. I live down the street at 627 Wisconsin, and I've personally seen the project. I don't think it poses any neighborhood or immediate 150-foot radius problems for the surrounding properties. And I think that there are a lot of other obstructions that are visible. There are lots of overgrown trees and other structures that are much taller and much more visible than her existing project, which I've seen. And I think it goes to the spirit of the variance, which in this case addresses her current health issues. So I'm in total support of the project.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dick Reynolds. I live at 683 Wisconsin, which is just down the street from Madeline's house. I fully support this addition. It seems like there are some health issues that she has, and this is what the impetus was to do something like this. to design a place that would help her with her with the therapy. So I fully support this condition.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other public comment, or you'd like to wrap up?
Sure.
Okay. I am the owner, and
if you could speak a bit more to the microphone, sorry, I just want to make sure we can get that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm nervous.
That's okay.
I'm the owner of the property, and I've struggled with chronic pain for 19 years. Let me get a grip here. I first of all want to thank you for letting me speak today, and I want to apologize for starting the project before I had the proper authority to do so. I started out of desperation. Once again, I have been struggling with chronic pain for 19 years. I have tried many different therapies. I have worked with Dr. Schoferman. I have two support letters from two of my physicians encouraging this space for myself. And Dr. Schoferman has been working with me all these years. I need an environment where I will be able to control the climate, where I will be able to have pulleys and traction and a soaking area, and basically a small space in which I can make the environment comfortable for my body so that I can become a productive human being. I have been on disability for 16 years, and I don't like being on disability. It makes me feel worthless. And I have so much to offer, and it's a shame that I cannot be allowed to create such a beautiful space so that I can do what I'm capable of doing. Right now, I lay down by noon. I lay on ice. I wake up every single night, and I have to go and soak in a tub. This has been going. Chronic pain is so different than pain. It's constant. And I know that probably most people would look at me, and they wouldn't think, no, she doesn't have it. But I do. I would like to show you here. Where it's located and what is being seen. On the east side, you can see it's all trees. On the south side, it's there's an enormous wall. That property is higher than mine. To the south, to the north side, it's all shrubs. It's more trees. So essentially, this building will be invisible. I hope to have a rooftop garden so that anybody who does look down in it would see a beautiful rooftop garden. I understand that the position of the building is a big issue here, I really apologize, but it's the right place for it. If I place this building as an extension to my house, I would virtually have no sun. I would have no garden. Do I stop?
That's time, but okay. I thank you for your time and also the neighbors as well. And it's not that often that we have such passionate testimony and supportive projects. Usually it's on the other side, and so I appreciate everyone taking the time today to come down. You know, I know staff has been working with you to get additional information regarding the project and kind of concerning the justifications for it. And, you know, definitely to see that it is for personal use only, will not be a commercial enterprise here.
No.
It's for your own personal use. And, you know, it was very helpful information regarding the climate control and the concerns about having a humid environment in your home or attached to your home. And so that this is something that helps protect and preserve your home as well. So I'm supportive of the variance and would close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. And that's all.
I'd like to kiss you.
No, sorry. Thanks.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2013.0772V, 3332 Folsom Street, front setback and rear yard variances sought. Sponsor of the project, please.
Yeah.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Joram Altman, architect for the project. We're today seeking a variance for a rear yard addition and a front yard setback as a result of the building being raised. This is a site plan showing the existing site conditions on the left and the proposed addition in the rear. The project actually doesn't have the ability to do a rear yard addition, but due to the requirements in Bernal Heights for encroachments into the rear yard beyond the setback line be only 50% of the width, the resulting addition is not functional. So we request an additional 55 square feet in width for the rear yard addition. This is a floor plan. The rear yard addition is actually a one-story structure. And the additional 6 foot 7 feet is the request for the variance to make the kitchen workable. And this is the front yard request, which is triggered by the raising of the building because of the requirement for parking. This building is too low to the street, and we need to raise it to 42 inches to allow access for a garage entrance. And the existing roof encroaches about 18 inches into the front setback. And these are the front and rear elevations showing on the front the additional increase due to the raising of the building, and the rear 57 square foot addition for the kitchen. This is an aerial view of the block that shows that there are several, about nine actually, large buildings in the block. The current property is about 800 square feet on the ground floor. There are buildings that range from 900 to 1,400 square feet right adjoining our property. New addition will increase the area of ground floor area to about 900 square feet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So no, staff had looked into the addition of the bedroom at the ground level.
Yes.
And so because it's directly connected to the garage and it gets the light off of the stairwell there. And it's my understanding the Department of Building Inspection accepts that for their requirements to be a sleeping room?
Yes. The only issue that we have is that the door from the door to the bedroom cannot directly access the garage.
Okay.
So we've added, as you can see, a vestibule at the rear of the garage to mitigate that problem. The side yard space is permitted for light and air as long as it's a proper width, which it is.
Okay. And then that's just to be a guest bedroom in
yes.
future use. And
yes.
Because in terms of net changes in the project, you're adding a bedroom as well as adding the parking and the ground story.
Exactly.
Okay.
The current structure can only accommodate two bedrooms on the upper level, and the property owners need three bedrooms.
Okay. Thank you.
The picture was sent to the project planner.
Okay, we'll add that to the file. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 7 for 3332 Folsom Street. Is there any public comment on this item, 3332 Folsom Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing that the lot dimensions and configurations pose a incredible hardship here on the property owner. Additionally, the existing building is legal non-complying with regards to the front setback, so raising in order to provide the required parking is triggering a front setback variance there, and they're also adding habitable space in the form of an additional bedroom, which cannot be accommodated at any other location. And we can move on to
item number 8, case number 2014.0486V, 807 Bosworth Street, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Paul Silbershot. This is my wife, Alyssa Sherman, and our new daughter, Emily, who's 17 weeks, one day old. First time City Hall. I'm a local San Francisco native. I actually grew up about 10 blocks from where we live. We currently live at 807 Bosworth. Grew up in Glen Park. Many fond memories of playing in the park, and my sister and my parents still live in the neighborhood, and as does my sister. We live in a current one-bedroom, one-bath, 600-square-foot house on the rear of the property. It's in very good condition. It's a great place to live. But as our family grows, we're out of space. So we're proposing to build a two-bedroom house in the front half of the lot, and there's really no reason to demolish the house. It's perfectly good. It's be an affordable rental for hopefully for my sister. The project is definitely in agreement with the Glen Park neighborhood plan, which is a modest increase in density. We're very close to the BART station, to Muni. We've got walking walkable neighborhood within a couple of blocks. In addition, we're adding a second parking space without adding an additional curb cut. So David Bushnell is going to describe a little bit more about the technical details.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. My name is David Bushnell, project architect with 450 Architects. And the situation for this project is that the existing residence is within the required rear yard, the 25-foot required rear yard, and it's 23 feet in the rear. There's 39 feet in the front of the lot. The lot slopes up about 20 feet from front to back, making the opportunity to add a second unit fairly limited or very limited. Our proposal, show you some images here. Or the site context, as you can see, the orange in this image is the existing residence, and the adjacent residences to the west are set back. The residence to the east is on the property line in the front. So from our front setback requirements, we average between those two properties, setting back about 7 feet, limiting the space in front of the property to that red outline in front of the orange building. Here's a detail of the existing situation. The existing house in red, the rear yard goes to the back of that palm tree. There's also a fairly large side yard here that averages about 8 feet wide. We'll maintain that existing side yard, the non-compliant rear yard, and the building in the front will have exposure to the street. This is a floor plan of the proposed residence and the existing residence. The existing residence is hatched. This is the ground or main living floor of the residence. It's, as you can see, it's very modest. It's one big open space for the living and dining with a terrace in front, in the front setback. And on the upper floor, two modest bedrooms and a study space. And we hope that you support this variance. It's a tricky site for development. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's my understanding the neighborhood notification, the 311 notice, has already expired on August 17th, and no discretionary reviews were filed on
right.
the project.
We heard nothing from the neighbors.
And then I agree with what you said about the kind of buildability of the site. It is a unique location here, given that the existing building is located in the middle of the lot, essentially. I mean, typically we have structures at the rear of the lot, which would allow a code-complying rear yard between two buildings on a lot. But in this case, you're actually building it. It's a completely new building that it's going to be a new construction permit, not an alteration permit, because you're not adding on to the existing building in any way. You're dropping down another building next to that existing building. Is that correct?
What's submitted is an alteration permit.
It is submitted as an alteration permit by the Department of Building Inspection. They accepted that. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And we can see if there's any public comment on this item for 807 Bosworth Street. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that they are keeping the existing building, which has been in place for quite some time and would represent an affordable opportunity for renters. And nice to hear that you may have your sister living in there as well. Again, if they're inclined to grant the requested variance, public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number case number 2014.0670V, 161 DeSoto Street, rear yard variance lot. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm John Lau, project engineer representing the owners. 161 DeSoto was totally remodeled and added the top and also the back in July 2012. At that time, the garage is already not functioning very well, you know. Let me show you pictures. Even though the site plan say that the existing garage is 20 feet long, 10 foot wide, however, the last 5 feet of the garage is sloped and the car cannot park all the way to the back. And also the garage door is so narrow it hardly can put a full-size car into it. And if I show you the exhibit, I believe that you understand Ingleside Terrace because I get a rear yard variance for another garage not too long ago. Ingleside Terrace have a lot of rear yard garages. And our property is 161 DeSoto. If you look at this whole block, there are 27 homes. 10 of them have a double garage at the back. And 4 of them have a single garage. And DeSoto is one of the 4. And in fact, if you go around there, you see the right side neighbor and the left side neighbor in 161 DeSoto, they have a double car garage at the back. And the 3 houses at the back of it also have 3 double car garages. And the 2 homes across the street, they have double car garages too. And so I think that they tried to do it for a couple of years because they spent all the money, now they're saving the money to rebuild it. And in fact, that I was very disappointed in the Homeowner Association of Ingleside Terrace. I worked with them for the last 10 years for many, many projects. And when I did my pre-application meeting, I have met 2 of the members. And I have been in corresponding with Suzanne, you know, all this time. I sent in all my variance application, the 311 notices, and also the project plans, you know. And they waited until the last minute, like yesterday, to send me the objection. If I have known this earlier, I would have worked with them to make sure they would support our projects. So basically what we're trying to say that right now they are parking on the driveway. In fact, the side yard is not supposed for parking. You know, I think the old code said that. But they have no choice because they don't want to leave the car in the street. So what happened, the wife is working for the school district, had to leave the house around early in the morning. And the husband lives in South San Francisco I forgot the name of the place. So the husband go late and come back late, you know. So what happened, the wife had to try to put the car in the driveway, and every time when the husband came back, she had to back up the car, which is not very safe to back the street, and then let his car go in first and then go in. But if we have a double car garage, they each can be independently get access to the garage, you know. And also, they have a pretty full-size SUV, and it's very hard to, you know, leave it outside. You don't want to leave a new car in a outside the rain as much as possible. So I plead for you to grant the variance so they can live like the neighbors, you know, have a double-car garage. I will entertain any questions you have.
Thank you. So in my first review of this, you know, I found it compelling. The adjacent garages are both quite substantially larger than the existing garage here.
Yeah.
And then I had looked at the Sanborn map for the adjacent property. You come to the north, and that garage did not appear on the Sanborn map, and I didn't see any variances that authorized that. Yeah. So do you know?
I don't know, but if you look at the Sanborn map, you know, the old Sanborn map, they all have a little piece at the back. I believe that most of the garage in those times were carriage for horses to wagon,
right.
And now they've been enlarged. With or without permit, we don't know, but it's been so long, you know. I think it's interesting to find out.
Okay. Well, thank you. And actually, we do have another variance for a similar garage, although they're not doing it side-by-side. They're proposing a tandem garage on, I think, the same block of DeSoto next month. But,
I see.
We'll see if there's any public comment on the item.
Okay. So, thank you very much. I will leave this in the project file, okay?
Okay, sure.
And I also will leave you the affidavits, I think we're supposed to. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 9 for 161 DeSoto Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. As I noted, I did find it compelling based on what actually seems to be there, but I was concerned maybe a bit about the legality of perhaps of some of these structures and using that as a comparison for justifying this variance, and would like staff to do some additional research, especially since we do have another case coming up next month. I think we can use the research for both cases to help us make proper decisions here. So I'll take the matter under advisement, and we can move on to the next item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If anything I can help, let me know.
Thank you. And I would note that the Section 311 notice did expire, and there were no discretionary fees filed. That's my understanding.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2014-0361V, 1055 Green Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good afternoon, or good morning. I'm Alec Wilson, representing the client for a variance at 1055 Green Street. The variance is for a small projecting balcony at the rear of a single-family home. From the beginning, our clients were interested in enhancing the connection to the mid-yard open space and the garden. So the classic home, historic home, is designed with the main floor on the entry level, which, due to the downsloping lot, is the second floor at the garden. So the connection to the garden is obscured by small openings and no access. Originally, the clients wanted to have a stair and a balcony at the rear, but since this is an existing non-conforming structure at the rear of the house, I was recommending a smaller balcony with a sort of side stair. So this small balcony is a cantilever balcony, 42 inches. It's relatively small, and it provides, you know, access to visuals and light and air for the client. We're removing part of a bay window at the rear of the building, so it's a reduction of bulk and mass on the rear of the building with this balcony, which will have an open railing and a cantilevered structure. So that would be over here on the side there, the small bay. This the roof of the bay window projects further than the balcony does on the rear facade. So the property is situated, I should say, the home is situated on a very large property with significant side yards, front yards, and this rear yard setback. It's a historic home. It was located this location prior to the planning code. And so any addition to the rear requires a variance because it's an existing nonconforming, which presents a hardship for our clients of not having light and air and sort of access, visual access to the garden from the main living floor of the house. There is a significance, it's actually 72% open on the property, so it's not an overbuilt property. It's a relatively small house on a large lot. So it's not a condition of encroaching onto the mid-yard, mid-block open space. And so one of the things I just wanted to emphasize is, as a quote from the residential design guidelines, rear yards provide open space for the residents to which they are attached, and they collectively contribute to the mid-block open space that is visible to most residents of the block. This visual open space can be a significant community amenity. So our property contributes to the larger mid-block open space, and we want to participate in the visual enjoyment of that. So currently the hardship is we
don't have that visual or sort of open access. And so, nor do we want to tear down part of this historic home to create a smaller, non-conforming property at the rear. We do have reached out to the neighbors. The building directly behind two of the three properties have written support. The third of the units is out of town, or lives out of town. The neighbor directly adjacent to it has spoken with our clients directly and has support, and the other one has not replied. So because of the location of this balcony, first of all, it's a very small balcony. It's obscured by heavy vegetation on this rear lot. And it will not actually be visible from the two adjacent homes due to the angles, and the rear home, again, has significant vegetation. So it's a reduction of bulk and mass. It's a difficult downsloping lot with a large front yard setback, resulting in the lot house being further back on the lot. And as a result, those are the hardships, which we're asking not for a deck and stair down to the rear yard, but just simply a large opening and a balcony. Stephanie, our client, would just like to say...
Hi, my name is Stephanie Trollope. I'm the owner of the home. We were attracted to this home just because of the, you know, it's rare to have, like, you know, this, you know, backyard in San Francisco that's south-facing and all that sunshine. We have two young children, and we plan to raise them in this home. We're just really looking forward to, you know, moving in. Actually, we're moving in like a month. So we're going to move in, but we really, you know, want to see, like, the home have, you know, more light, have more exposure to the air, the sunshine, have that kind of, like, feeling of that indoor-outdoor kind of feeling. I want to be able to look out onto the garden, have the option to open it up and have, like, fresh air, be able to look down and see the kids playing. I know, I just think it would just be a great addition just in terms of just how we live, and we're going to be there a long time, so.
Great, thank you.
So, yeah.
Let's see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 10 for 1055 Green Street. Seeing no public comment, we close public hearing. I think that the project sponsor has provided a very compelling argument. I think at first I had some concerns about the proposal, but I think very clear it's a historic building, has a sizable front setback, minimal lot coverage for a very large lot, and it's a very minimal addition. And I think they have a very compelling argument about wanting to enjoy the mid-block open space as much as everyone else does. So thank you. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2014.0650V, 1372 Francisco Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here. Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hello, everyone. My name is Vincent Leger. I'm with EAG Studio, a design firm in San Francisco, who represents the Headley family, owners of 1372 Francisco Street. We are respectfully seeking this variance today because we believe it meets the five findings. Well, maybe while we get this started, I can summarize our
problem. Let's get this set, and then we'll restart time so you have your full time. Let's just get our technical...
Thank you.
Let me reset the clock for you. Hold on.
Thank you very much. The subject property is over here.
Oh, sorry, just there we go.
Okay, let's start over.
Thanks again. If I may summarize the project, we propose a horizontal and vertical addition in a very compact amount of space, mostly to preserve the open space in the rear and minimize the impact to our neighbors. We propose to stay well within the average rear lines of the property on either side. And as you can see from this aerial view of the rear, both buildings on either side go pretty far back, well past our proposed addition, I should point out. And this is a common occurrence in the buildings on the rest of the block. I think this is a good demonstration. Our client's family was hoping to gain more space in the rear, but we couldn't bring ourselves to propose capturing the space within the rear portion of the buildable area because of the conditions of the property to the west. And over here, it's shown in salmon pink. This property has no less than 4 non-complying property line windows. Our design basically takes that into account. And we propose to hold back from the rear and capture a much smaller block, the one that's illustrated in blue. We find that it impacts our neighbors the least. We believe our request for a displacement of the block given up where space is most needed on the main floors is a reasonable one because it is intended to minimize the impact on our neighbors, more specifically our neighbor to the west. We stand on the belief that we are giving up precious real estate so as to accommodate our neighborhood, our neighbor's windows, which, by the way, look straight into the subject property's yard. Out of respect for our neighbor, we offer a sculpted design that takes into account the existing surrounding. Our clients accepted to stay well before the buildable area suggested by the averaging method because we came up with a plan that minimizes the impact on the window that they still light. We are basically giving up 1,250 square feet of buildable area and are asking for only 150 in return in an area that is not disruptive to our neighbors. We conducted extensive neighborhood outreach, presented our plans to everyone interested. During the initial pre-app meeting with our neighbors, the owner of the lower unit asked that we hold back the deck or our deck from by 3 feet from his property line window, which is something that we incorporated into our design right away. Other than our neighbors to the east, with whom we met a couple of times, no one contacted us to express additional concerns after the pre-app meeting. Nevertheless, I think it is fair to say, as is always the case, we try to take everyone's interest into account. The area of variance has no significant impact on any of the neighbors' light and air, as is suggested by this light study. I think if one compares the proposed area of variance at the top and the difference in the shadow that it casts on the neighbor on the property next door, it's quite similar, in fact, to the one that would well not be cast if that addition didn't exist. I also would like to point out that the subject property faces blind walls on both sides in the rear. And there's no relief from the property line provided by neither properties. Another hardship comes from the fact that there is a 12-foot legislative front setback, which further reduces the potential of the development of the site. All in all, we think that our design is considerate, and the variance that is sought today relies on basic fairness so as to capture elsewhere a small amount of space in comparison than the one that we are giving up to accommodate our neighbor's property line windows. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. So on the shadow study, that was June 21st, so the summer solstice, did you prepare analysis for other times of the year, because that would be the best case scenario, right? So
the property faces the back of the property faces north, mm-hmm. And we actually did make all the times of the year, but we felt that might be the one that is most telling, since the sun is close to its zenith.
But the sun would be the highest latitude north, 23 and a half degrees north. So that would actually have the minimal shadow in the rear yard because you have a north-facing rear yard. So, like, you know, for the winter solstice, it'll be much lower in the sky and would have a much more darkening impact on the rear yard. So did you prepare the other?
We did look at all of them, and we felt that this probably was the most telling, and I apologize if we did not bring those other ones. We can certainly forward them to you.
Okay. Okay. And then also, you mentioned that this proposal, which you're seeking the variance for, is to try to make up for space that you could otherwise develop that would have the impact on those property line windows, which we understand are not protected. Do you have a code complying alternative that you can show us?
I think it is basically. The area in pink shows what we would be otherwise allowed to capture.
So through averaging, you can't go into the last 25%. So the 25, where you're showing up here, the 25-foot minimum setback, that's clearly not, doesn't overlap with the pink. So in terms of what would otherwise be developable under the code, I think maybe there's a misunderstanding there. But you don't have a code complying. You haven't devised a code complying alternative.
I think, given what happens here today, we will propose alternatives.
Okay. All right. Let's go to public comment, and then you'll get a chance to respond. I think there may be some members of the public here to speak on it as well, but you'll have a rebuttal time, 3 minutes as well. Thank you. So any public comment on this item, on item number 11 for 1372 Francisco Street? And no particular order, whoever would like to speak first, just step on up and we'll go through them.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much. David Lear, I live at 1380 Francisco, and I really do appreciate the owner's attempt to not block our sunlight. I wanted to, though, be sure that this did in fact meet the 5 existing conditions for variance. And according to the definition in the planning code, it says this exceptional and extraordinary circumstances occur where the commonplace application of design standards to a project does not enhance or conserve neighborhood character. These circumstances may arise due to complex topography. It's a flat lot, irregular lot configuration. It's, I believe, 25 by 100, unusual context or other conditions. And we all have a 12-foot setback requirement from the city, so that's nothing unusual. I think what's a little unusual is the way that the property was compared to the eastern and the western properties. The eastern property, I believe, has a 1,000-square-foot larger lot, so it's hard to really compare directly what should be allowed. And the proposed property at 1372 Francisco will be 40 feet high, which is, in fact, an exceptional and extraordinary height difference between the two adjacent properties. 1378-80 is 34 foot 1 inch. 1366-1368 is 34 feet 7 inches. So I don't see any hardship because net-net that building will be larger than the one surrounding it. And so I don't see any extraordinary circumstances. And according to the procedures for submitting the planning department applications, it does explain hardship quite effectively. I don't know why the project can't be built so that it meets the planning code or what hardship or practical difficulty would result if it met the code standards. And then finally, we do have a lot of concerns about the light. This does show pretty much the same view, but what it doesn't show is the windows that are behind that proposed addition. There are light wells about here and about here, I believe this light well would be covered up almost entirely. So we will lose a lot of light and air and would like that right to be preserved. And maybe all I have to say. And then finally, you know, while the open space in the area, in the back area for everyone to enjoy is kind of small and crowded, this would change that footprint and take away from that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please.
Hi, my name is Jason Hardy-Smith. I live and own the property at 1344 Francisco Street. I guess, first of all, you know, I'd like to comment on the process that's been through. We heard the first gentleman say that there's been extensive neighbourhood outreach. I think that's absolute nonsense. I have not been contacted by anybody from that property. Neither have the two neighbours that I've talked to. I happened to see the notice outside the house last week, outside their house on the billboard, and that's how I came to know about this meeting today. So I haven't been consulted on this at all. I'm well within the 150-foot range, so I would expected to have been contacted, but none of that. I echo and agree with everything that the last gentleman said, so I'm not going to waste any time talking about that. I guess, you know, the main things that I would like to focus on are, you know, when we look at the project feature section of the plan, it says that the house is only actually going to go up to 40 feet. That actually isn't true. There's actually goes beyond that when you take into account the deck and the planters and the trees and things like that. So it actually goes up to about 47 feet. So when you look at the house at the whole, it's gone up from 32 feet at the front to about 47. At the back of the house, it's actually gone up from 20 feet to 47. So huge increases here in the size of the house. In fact, if you look at the floor space of the house, it's actually going to increase by 3.5 times. That is massive. That, you know, so I can't understand why somebody has come to this area and bought a house that really they didn't want. They wanted one that was 3.5 times bigger. This is not a small enhancement to the property. It reduces the mid-block space that we all enjoy and share. That's why we all moved there. I guess that's the majority of my comments. You know, it will be the only house on Francisco Street between Franklin and Gough on either side of the street that goes up that many levels. There is no other street that goes up. There's no other property that goes up that many levels. This will be a first. And it will be, I think, the biggest house on the street as well. So I don't really see the need for this. We heard a lot of people speak about their families getting bigger, they've got health issues and things like that to justify the need for the variance. I don't see any need for it here. It's a huge increase to an already pretty sizable house, and the existing house is in line with the other houses on the block. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and maybe I just want to clarify a few points about the neighborhood outreach. So the neighborhood outreach requirement would actually be in our code for budding properties. So if you're more than one property away, then that's probably why you didn't receive the pre-application meeting. I don't think that was
okay.
Necessarily in the fault.
I would just query how extensive it really was. I mean, if you do the bare minimum, then I can't really see that that's extensive.
No, fair enough. I just wanted to clear for everyone.
Okay.
And then the 311 notification has not yet gone out, which you would get, and that's owners and occupants within 150 feet.
Okay.
The notice that went out for this hearing was 300-foot owners only, just to clarify. And then under the planning code, we measure height of the building to the top of the finished roof for flat roofs, and they do allow, under the code, certain obstructions above that, so like the planters and the railings and even stair penthouses. So just to clarify the requirements so everyone understands.
Yeah, I guess when I looked at the project features, the measurements weren't used consistently. So the highest point was used of the existing house, so using the top of the parapet, which is 32 foot 1 inch, I think. And for the new house, they used the top of the roof, which is 40 feet. So it makes it look like it's only a 7-foot increase, but in actual fact, it's not.
Because they weren't including the same features.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. So we can move on to the next member of the public.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, too.
Item number 11.
Oh, is this still 1372?
Yeah, 1372, yeah. Francisco, yeah.
Not sure. I have some pictures, which is from our house. Thank you for your time. My name is Julia Bozhart, and my family and I have lived at 1351 Francisco Street.
for over 20 years and are raising our children there. And I should mention my husband and our neighbors are also very sorry to not be here today. We feel strongly opposed to the additional fourth story on 1372. We feel it's incredibly inconsistent with the rest of the block. You can see the picture. This is our side of the block where it's all three-story. And, you know, it has a nice cultural heritage. And then from our roof, we have another shot. We feel we would be blocked in some of our sunlight and our view, but as well as our neighbors feel the same way. And then I have another photo, too, which is just how we would look out on the other side of the street. But you can kind of see that. At any rate, I'll be brief, and I just agree with the previous two people that spoke. And, you know, we, again, just wanted to speak our piece and want to be active in our concerns with this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, and also just want to clarify again that the matter that is for the hearing right now is just the rear yard variance.
Yeah,
so it's a small portion of the rear of the proposed fourth story. There will be a separate notice, a 311 notice to owners, occupants within 150 feet. That'll deal with everything else in the project, so the vertical addition as well. So
yes.
Just want to make sure.
No,
everyone
I appreciate
is aware.
That. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And is there any other public comment on 1372 Francisco Street?
My name is Kathleen Jew, and I'm the owner of 1378-80 Francisco Street, and I occupy the upper unit of this building. And I totally agree with what Dave, the first speaker, and the second speaker regarding the sunlight and air being blocked if he builds the building wall-to-wall right up to my not windows, which is the bedroom windows, but specifically also he will be eliminating the light wells by blocking my bathroom windows and also a staircase window. And when you grant him the variance, that means you're allowing him to build up to the 40 feet. And that is when I'm going to have problems because it will cast a shadow on my windows, all of my windows. And then when it's so close to me, it also it affects our privacy, although he said he's going back 3 feet. And based on the plan, it doesn't look like it. It looks like he's going to be covering part of the window. And do you have that? I think it's the A1 display showing the windows where you said you set back 7 feet to accommodate us, to allow us to have sunlight. And by the way, I'd like to comment. We went to the neighborhood meeting. We were asked for certain things. We were never provided with the plans or anything. So I don't know who he met extensively with, but it was not with me or the other side. Both 1366 and 1370, we are on the both sides of him. How do I do this?
Oh, on the other
overhead.
The deck is held back, thank you, but...
But then I'm showing the window.
Above, you mean the fourth floor? On the third floor, you're parallel to me, so there are windows.
Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering if the drawing was depicting the correct situation of my windows, my bedroom windows, which I have three on the third floor.
So you're at the property at
1378 Francisco, 13. Yeah. And by the way, I'm sorry I sent you that email stating other matters of concern.
No.
I don't know if you receive it or not. And I realize that now
That's
it
fine.
Will be addressed later on in another hearing.
Okay.
But the first part of my email does address my concern regarding the lights when he's going to build further out and further up. that it will cast a shadow on my property and then therefore deprive me of sunlight and air, that fresh air that I now enjoy. And also,
your time is up.
Okay. And I also think that it's not necessary for them to build a mega mansion to overshadow our duplexes.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any other public comment on this item, item number 11 for 1372 Francisco Street? So seeing no additional public comment, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. I'm going to try and go quickly because there was a number of points raised. We did actually follow up with a number of neighbors, all the ones that reached out to us and held separate meetings, brought large plans, full-size plans to really make it clear to everyone what we were proposing. And I also want to point out that nobody actually has expressed concerns after the pre-app meeting. So, I mean, it's a bit of a surprise to us because it is nice to incorporate people's feedback, during the design of the project. And if we're not told what those concerns are, it's difficult to incorporate. And then maybe to go on the unusual hardship that didn't appear to be of consequence to one of the previous speaker. We are looking at blind walls and have no relief from either neighbors who are built a lot further. And the neighbor to our west actually covers 83% of their lot, leaving essentially no yard, no open space for other people's enjoyment. We are not going even a great amount back towards the rear, in favor of preserving open space for everyone. All that the approach that we selected is to go up instead, and within the allowable heights, is my understanding. And then, as I was also maybe something that was not portrayed quite clearly is we are retaining two light wells on both sides so that the light that comes from the middle core of the building for our neighbors continues to exist. And then one more thing I would like to show you is that all those properties, this one over here, this one over there, this one over there, and this one, all those properties are full four-story properties. So I don't think, and I think perhaps the view at the top, which is sort of a perspective view of the facade as it would exist, shows that it doesn't really seem inconsistent with the scale of the block. And this is a picture that's taken from far, not a picture, but a rendering that's taken from pretty far so that it exaggerates the condition. In reality, when you stand on Francisco, you do not see the fourth floor. Thank you.
Thank you. So just a few questions. The existing building, based on the plans in the file, has three bedrooms, and the proposed will also have three bedrooms, but it is substantially larger, and you've got a bit of a larger garage, a media room on the ground floor. First floor has living room, dining room, family room, kitchen with the deck to the rear. The next floor above has two more bedrooms, including a master bedroom, study, laundry, and then we go to the top floor, which is labeled as the third floor plan, and you have another, what appears to be, master bedroom with a large lounge. And, again, as we've already established, this is a rear yard variance for that small portion at the rear, 7 foot or so, that is above the 30-foot limit when you do the rear yard averaging. Can you explain, justify why it's a hardship to have this? I mean, I guess if the variance was denied, I don't see how it would be a hardship to the project sponsor. They could still have the same amount of habitable space, essentially, certainly usable space, that maybe the lounge would get a bit smaller or the second master bedroom would get smaller.
If that 7-foot extension that we're here for
right.
was not granted, well, I guess it was a matter of fairness to our clients in that we proposed to not come up with a plan that doesn't take into account the neighboring windows. It just seemed fair to them to come up with an alternative. Our clients, he works from home, and I guess was hoping for the amount of space it is to make a nice environment.
Okay. Well, thank you for that response. I've carefully considered this and do not find that all the findings necessary to grant a variance have been met for the project. So I'm inclined to deny the requested variance. And I would note for those who are here, I think, who have concerns beyond just the variance with the proposed fourth floor addition, I'm not making any comments on the fourth floor addition. I think our residential design team has reviewed it, found that to be appropriate. And not out of scale or character with the neighborhood. I don't have any opinions different than that. Certainly, I think that denying the variance would soften the impact on the rear yard, and in particular the shadow impacts, because I think you did show kind of the best case scenario in going to June when the sun is highest in the sky, when it would have cast less of a shadow on the rear yard, and I think that in this case denying the variance here. Having a code-complying project would be more beneficial. I appreciate that there is a 12-foot legislated front setback and that imposes certain restrictions on the property. It is 100 feet long, so a 12-foot front setback does eat up valuable usable area, habitable area, and both of the adjacent properties are built out with greater lot coverage. But I just can't find that all the findings necessary to grant a variance in this case have been met. So, again, I'm inclined to deny the variance. The public hearing is closed. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign the sign-in sheet, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 12, case number 2014-0557V, 28 25th Avenue, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Ian Mahler. I'm the architect for 28 25th Avenue. And the project we're speaking about today is part of a renovation of an existing residence and detached garage. The house was built in 1914. And the garage built at a later date. And the garage currently is an existing non-complying structure. And we're seeking to basically rebuild it, but reduce it in bulk and mass. It's an odd structure currently. It's a tandem garage. I think it was probably a single car garage that was added on, sort of train caboose fashion. And we'd like to shorten the garage, rebuild it in its same location. To do that, we would need to, we're seeking a side yard encroachment variance. I think the zoning code has changed over the years, so it is the pattern development in the Seacliff neighborhood where this is located. There are many houses that have side yard garages, side entries with porticos. In this case, you drive through a portico on the driveway. The site plan is set up specifically with a garage on the side. When we rebuild the garage, we would like to also adapt it to the architecture of the residence. Currently, it's a little bit like a storm shelter. It's semi-recessed or semi-subterranean, so the new structure would be a little bit taller but shorter and would be have the same vernacular to the house. As part of the pre-application process, the budding neighbors, they both supported it. think the neighbor that's directly adjacent to it, particularly likes the fact that the garage will actually get shorter. I think they're going to gain a nice view from it. Also, as part of this variance request, there's a minor issue on the opposite side house, the other side yard. There's an existing cantilevered stair bay, and we plan to retain that. However, as part of the seismic upgrade and renovation of the house, rebuild the stair, stringer size, structural elements need to be a little deeper, and so that cantilevered bay would technically be approximately 18 inches deeper towards ground. So it gets a little bit longer but stays in the same location. And it does, in fact, it's new construction in an existing side, required side yard. So there's two elements there.
Thank you. And yeah, you are correct that the planning code has evolved much. I mean, it seems to change every day. But certainly this was constructed at a time when those obstructions, and there wasn't a side yard requirement, those obstructions would have been allowed. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Any public comment on item number 12 for 28 25th Avenue? Seeing none, because the public hearing being inclined to grant the requested variance, and I think you're making reasonable changes to existing legal structures, reducing the size of the garage, and making other improvements to the property, minor obstruction into the side yard. So inclined to grant the requested variance. Move on to the next item.
Item number 13, case number 2014-0426V, 409 Clayton Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes to, sir.
Thank you, Ernie C. Lander, architect for the project. I'd like to apologize for the owner, Natasha Stevenson. She wasn't able to be here. She just had a new baby. This is an interesting case of filling in the negative space in the rear yard block face without negatively impacting the neighbors. I actually have, and I believe I emailed to you a letter from the most affected directly adjacent neighbor who we will be building up against. I have a hard copy here for you if you'd like that, showing her support for the variance.
That'd be great. Thank you.
We did our usual pre-app meeting. All the people that showed up were more interested in the cookies and cheese and wine than the project. So I'm going to close my comments right there unless you have any questions. Oh, excuse me. I believe there was a question about use of the property, and I believe that related to a previous owner that was using it as a guest hotel or something, and this owner lives there with her three children she already has, and like I said, has a new baby right now. So
a fourth?
Go figure.
Great. Okay, thank you. I know the 311 notice is currently out and expires.
It expires today also.
Today. Okay, great, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 13 for 409 Clayton Street. Seeing none, close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that, again, kind of minor improvements to increase the habitable area of the building, and as already been told, for expanding family. We can move on to the next item.
Actually, this is the last two items. Item number 14 and item number 15 are related projects. Case number 2013-1521V, 22 Ord Street, Ord Court, rear yard variance sought. Item number 15, case number 2013-1522V, 24 Ord Court, rear yard variance sought.
And given that these projects, I think, are so similar, we have the same project sponsor, I was inclined to hear these items together, so public comment would be able to be provided on both. I'm assuming that the comments related to one project are going to be very similar to that related to the other. And so what we would do typically in this situation is maintain the same amount of public comment time of 3 minutes each. And so do people who are here to speak for that think that would be enough time to address concerns related to both projects? And thank you.
I would like to request a little bit more time if that's okay, given that
We are generally, I can ask questions, and we're generally pretty flexible on that. So I may ask you to finish your thoughts when you come up to speak.
Project sponsor gets 5 minutes. You could start, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, Madam Secretary. Reza Kushnevisan, SIA Consulting. The project before you is proposed construction of two single-family homes at the back of a through lot that extends from Ord to States. And the first diagram that I'd like to show you is really the first thing that we looked at before we even started looking into the design of this building. And this is a study of the block that we did. The block is almost a triangular-shaped lot. As it goes east, you know, becomes narrower and narrower. And, you know, a lot of these lots are through lots. And a lot of the buildings have taken advantage of that, that have made buildings that there are lots that have two buildings on it, or there are lots that have one building going through. The two red rectangles that you see are where our proposed project is located. So what we did was we went ahead and added a shade of green on the pattern of the mid block. And as you can see, the mid block is very scattered. There are a few buildings that basically cover the entire lot, almost like the one right next to us. So that's where we thought that, you know, this variance, you know, could be somewhat justified. Then the next thing that we looked at was the height of the buildings to see, you know, what kind of building we may be able to propose. And this is an aerial photo. We superimposed some of the surrounding buildings. The buildings that are in yellow, they're all one story, whether they're garages or whatever it may be. The pink are two stories. The blue are three-story buildings scattered around the block. And finally, the black are either three stories or tall enough to become three stories. I'm sorry, four stories or tall enough to be four-story. So what we have proposed is a building that is also three-story in size. This is a section cut through the lot. This is what we are currently proposing. On 22 Ord, we have a single-family home that we would like to add a half a level at the top. This is at the lower portion of the lot. At the top portion, this is the new building that we are proposing. And the heavy red line is the allowed height limit for this project. And the way that we have that is a 30-foot high at the property line or at the line of required setback, the 45 degrees angle and the 40-foot height limit parallel to the grade all the way down to the street, so to the toward court. So as you can see, we are well within allowed height. We have held about four neighborhood meetings on this project, and there are neighbors that are adjacent that are concerned. And we have done a number of concessions, you know, to try to work with them, and we are continuing to do so. One of which was to completely eliminate one level off of the lower building on State Street, and this is the green that you see up there is what we are currently proposed, which you know is on the site permit set, and the section across the street is where the buildings across the street are located roughly, and they had concerns of views and all that, and we are continuing to work with them. And that this was one of the compromises that we are trying to do in order to see whether we can have lesser of an impact. I mean, there's no way that, you know, I can say that I'm not going to have an impact on the surrounding buildings. This is San Francisco, and we build on zero lot lines. But we thought that, you know, if you know, by giving up about 700 square feet on one building, that we could mitigate some of that. I'm available for any comments you may have.
Thank you. So just to clarify, so the changes that were made was a revision to the proposal to add to the existing building? Is that correct?
No, this is in regards to the two buildings on State Street. The two buildings on State Street currently, as you have in your system, are three stories at the back of the sidewalk. So we are removing one floor, which is about 700 square feet, off of one of them at the lower. So it allows the two buildings together to step down with the slope of the street a little better.
So the proposal is to remove the top story, the fourth floor, from both of the proposed new buildings?
On one of them, the one on the lower side.
Okay.
That's right.
Sorry, the one at... Which one? The one at 22?
The one on 22.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And were any other changes made in response to concerns from the neighbors?
The concern, some of the concerns that they have is, you know, it was a tree, a street tree that actually is not a street tree. It's on the private property, but it's in the...
it's within 10 feet.
Within 10 feet, and we have filed a tree removal permit with the DPW.
What's the status of that permit?
It's in their backlog.
Okay.
But what I have here for you in the overhead is the condition of that sidewalk. It's a old tree, so significant tree, you know, has to be 12 inches or taller than 25 feet. This is a 9-inch trunk. It's right at the back of the sidewalk. It's lifting the sidewalk substantially. And this is a little close-up of that, of the condition of the sidewalk. So even if we were not to construct anything, this tree is going to lift that sidewalk. It's already a trip hazard.
How old is the tree?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ronnie, do you know if it's mature? I mean,
yeah, it is. It is pretty mature.
Okay.
It's almost
full grown.
I would say 35 feet tall, and as another gesture, you know, we have our landscape architect working on the project, and we are putting as big a tree as we can in front of the building. The two, you know, so we're going to
the required tree.
We're going to install basically plant, actually two, you know, mature trees in replacement of the tree that we are removing.
Okay.
Or the two trees actually we're removing. Yes.
And Senator, you're doing this. I, you know, understand there's not really a clear pattern of in-block open space on the subject block. And you're choosing to try to define that pattern more by developing on States and having the existing buildings on Ord. Did you also look at simply expanding onto the existing buildings at Ord to get the density that's allowed under the RH2 zoning? Or, and you know, especially in the 24 Ord court, that would allow preservation of that tree at the rear.
Right.
So that... And are there any plans to subdivide the lots in the future?
No, there's no plans to subdivide the lot.
Okay.
You see, what we looked at was that if we were to expand the 22 Ord all the way through and the 24 Ord, what we would get is a backyard that is against State Street and is going to be, you know, unusable. In addition, my thoughts on that is that, you know, we are providing a project that is trying to be complying with the residential design guideline, that is providing mid-block in the mid-block. The neighboring buildings eventually during the, you know, in time, they might get demolished and new buildings are going to come in. So we feel that, you know, what we're proposing is it could be a start of actually a mid-block pattern that could be followed on the street.
Okay. And I mean, I could, you know, see that there would be kind of a practical difficulty with reorganizing essentially the buildings that front on Ord to have all of the windows, if you were to add on to those buildings to the rear, you essentially merge the two buildings together, you'd have issues with, not with exposure for the building at the front, but certainly you have to reorient and reprogram those rooms. But that was not looked at further. This was...
Well, you know, the other consideration that we had is that the 24 Ord has an elderly tenant that has been living in that two-story single-family home. By no means, you know, we are we want to relocate them, and we felt that, you know, we could preserve that building, you know, and its current tenant.
Okay.
If we were to add to the back of it, you know, that would not be possible.
Okay. Thank you. So
thank you.
You'll have a rebuttal, and so we'll go through public comment now. And thank you. So we'll go on to public comment. And I would note that the Section 311 notice is out and would expire on, I think, September 7th.
I'm sorry. Could I make a comment on this?
Oh, please. Yes. Yes. This is
I've lived on State Street for 40 years. It's an unusual street because there are no intersections all the way up to Roosevelt. And I've measured what he's done. It's so correct. Across just the facade portion. What he wants to do with so much bulk.
So if you could speak a bit more into the microphone, sorry.
There's a gentleness in that area, and it's just...
Just want to make sure we
oh, I'm
get
sorry.
You recording.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
There's a gentleness in that area, and he's talking about bulk. It's going to look like a private laboratory. There seems to be a path away from shingle and wooden to cement. More and more. There's twice, there's two other occasions on our street. And, you know, there's a certain quality of people loving to jog on our street because it is one path with no intersections. His measurement across in the sketches doesn't coincide with what I measured. There's a bit of dishonesty there, if I may say so. And I'm sorry I'm taking your time over, and you've been so thorough and so nice.
No, no, please, I want you to... I actually,
but
likely continue and...
We've lived there so long, and to see, even Ord Court is such a small little compact street, and this laboratory look, bulk, material, it's happened just 10 houses down. They've taken a pathway to the park that was just old, that was old, and have built on it. But San Francisco, you know, there's a lot of money coming from computer guys. And a lot of it's going under the table, I'm sure. I don't know where it's going, but all I know is the buildings that have gone up, like on 16th and Castro, are pretty awful. For the tradition of the city, when they just get rid of bay windows in their designs, like they're not needed anymore, and that helps the hum of things. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So I'd just like to better understand the comment that you had about the dimensions being wrong, sir. If you could maybe elaborate... Sorry, sir. If you could... elaborate on the comment that you had related to the dimensions being inaccurate. You said you measured something and it was different from what was shown on the plans. If you could elaborate on that, or maybe if someone else in the public could as well. But
there is a children's museum up on an upper level there. Is that what you mean?
Well, because you said that you thought the plans may be inaccurate.
I thought the plans were inaccurate, yeah. The frontage is quite massive. It's almost a block and a half.
So the project site, there are two 25-foot wide lots, and so you believe that those lots may be wider than what is shown? Or?
I'm suspicious of it, okay.
Okay.
All right. The other thing is, why do we have to build in cement with everything now? You know, really, you know, we're a city of wood.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. So next member of the public, please. And again. And yeah, whatever order works for everyone, that's fine with me. And again, we're on the two ord court items, the final two items that are on the agenda today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
My name is Ann O'Driscoll. I live at 49 Ord Court and have owned my home for almost 25 years now. And it's a very special street. I live in a small cottage. Our backyard spaces are sacred to us. We need that green space to retain the character of our neighborhood. Most of the homes on Ord Court are owned and resided in by the primary owner. It's not a much of a rental street. We take care of our homes. We need to retain the character of our street. Now, with regards having other public meetings or meetings with the neighbors, this is the first I'm hearing of any meeting other than an impromptu meeting in front of the project on State Street. Because of this facing Ord Court, we were notified, but the people on State Street, who in some cases are even closer to the project, were not, which is what I heard this morning. Because the address on this is Ord Court, which is something we have found in projects on Ord Street as well. I don't think adding a level to the house on Ord Court makes any sense, and I think reducing the garden size so drastically, I'm glad to hear there's a landscape architect involved, but it certainly doesn't appear that way from the plans. So my point here is that we need to keep our garden spaces in alliance with the character of the neighborhood.
Thank you. So I'd like to better understand the concern raised about the notification. So you are at which property again on Ord?
I'm at 49. So I'm near the top of the hill across the street from the 22 and 24.
Okay. And so the notice for this hearing would have been mailed to owners within 300 feet of the property. So you did not receive a mailed notice?
I did.
You did.
But I have neighbors that live closer to the project on State Street that did not.
Okay.
Because of the address being Ord Court.
That's
and it.
It
being such a deep set.
Because we do in this case, it's a 300-foot radius from the bounds of the property. So anyone within 300 feet along State Street should have also received the notice. But do you know if they were owners or occupants?
Owners.
They were owners. Okay.
Owners, yeah.
Thank you.
Long-term owners.
Okay. And no, that's helpful. And in terms of the pre-application meeting process, that's, again, the abutting properties. So that's why those further down the street would not have received the notice of that. But thank you for that testimony.
Thank you very
Appreciate
much.
It. Thank you. And next member of the public, please.
Hi, my name is Carrie Norsworthy. I live at 16 Ord Court, so one building down from 22. I have a lot to say, but I'm going to try to condense it. And I was not invited to any neighborhood meetings. So, you know, I just heard about them today. One of my concerns is the tremendous amount of underground water. There's an underground stream on Ord Court. And that building drains into our building through our retaining wall. It's approximately 100 gallons of water a day that's pouring into our retaining wall and into our backyard, even during the drought. And I don't think any provisions are made now or in the future for adequate drainage of that water. And I wonder about the stability of the ground in terms of building tall buildings on top of it. The second thing is, this zone is, by U.S. Geological Survey, says this is a landslide zone. There have never been properties before on those two plots of land, those backyards. So I wonder if this has been taken into account, earthquake safety, seismic safety, and soil engineers looking at the property. I second everything that the concerns of the neighborhood in terms of open space. There's not a lot of it anymore. And certainly the way that the light falls in that neighborhood, there will be no light falling on the small amount of backyard because the light, the building in front will be casting a shadow on the backyard. And finally, I don't see where 22 Ward Court could possibly, if you've ever taken a look at it, support an additional floor. It looks like something I built myself. It has an additional floor already added to it. It doesn't really look very stable. The front of the building looks like a carport. I don't see how you could add another floor. I think this is actually a demolition and new construction. Anyway, I have a lot of other concerns, but I won't get into them here.
Yeah, thank you for your comments. And just for background for everyone in terms of the status of the process, this is the rear yard variance for
right.
the two buildings at the rear of the property. In regards to the seismic safety and those issues, those would be vetted through the Department of Building Inspection.
Is that right? So that's not part of the variance. All right.
That's correct. But
So how would I address those then? Where would I bring those concerns?
If the project advances past the planning phase, then that would be with the Department of Building Inspection when they are reviewing the permits related to the project.
Okay. So. Thank you.
But thank you. So we can move on to the next member of the public.
Thank you for allowing us to speak. My name's Rick Goldman. I live at owner of 230 States, right across the street from 22 Ord Court. And our concerns are the mass of it. It's just too massive for the neighborhood. Very bulky is the plans that we have seen. It's removing required open space, removing two large trees. One thing that, Scott, that you've asked other ones, did they provide an alternative that didn't require a variance? We haven't seen any alternative that they could have provided, and I think there are ways they could go without a variance and just build, as you suggested, building up on Ord Street. So we haven't seen anything like that. It's larger than any of the other surrounding buildings. It would be the only four-story single-family home on State Street, so it definitely wouldn't be in character. You were talking about the trees, if they're over 25 feet. These trees are over 25 feet, I would believe, so I think that is another issue that needs to be looked at. And for all these reasons, I feel the variance should not be allowed.
Thank you. So does the proposed revision to the 22 Ord Court to reduce by one story, does that address the concerns in any way? Is the resulting building somewhat supportable in your mind?
It helps, but I haven't seen that's been submitted. Okay. I mean, what's submitted is still the taller building.
Okay. And if it were conditioned as such, that's something that you might find supportable for a revision to the project.
If they could reduce the size of both buildings. Buildings. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand the concerns mm-hmm. better. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
My name is Joel Smart. I live at 245 State Street. I've been there since 1985. And the builders are wrong. That tree has to be about 2 feet in diameter and about 60 feet tall. Both of the trees are about 60 feet tall. And there is going to be no green space. They plan on paving over everything. I've seen the plans, and they may be planting a couple bushes, but it's terrible that you would allow something like this to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. So, and to clarify too, sir, so both of those trees are on 24 Ord Court, right?
And you keep saying 24. They're building on State Street. Why do you keep saying that
the legal assessor's address is on Ord? But
they're both on the same, I think the same lot. Yeah.
But, okay, on the one.
22, I believe.
Or 24 in the back of that. Thank you.
They're beautiful, and they're full of birds and bird nests and everything. So.
Thank you. So, next member of the public, please.
Hi, my name's Rip Walsh, and I live at 18 Ord Street, and that's basically, we live in 1897 Victorian, and we're on the Vulcan Stairs, and there's huge green space that we look at from our house onto Ord Court. So from our house, we look out, and we see these properties. And if you look at all the adjacent properties on Ord Court, it's a street of cottages as well as a few anomalies. Okay, there are some anomalies that were built in the 60s that should have never happened, but they did. And I know it sets precedent. But there's an equal, if not greater, number of cottages that just are on Ord Street, and they have complete, beautiful gardens going from their backyards all the way up to State Street. And I think the thing you should be aware of is that these yard slope at I reckon 45 degrees. So whatever anyone builds, and if you have a beautiful garden behind your house on Ord Court, it's not just your garden. It's the public sees it. I stare at these gardens that the people who have retained their small cottages keep, and they're used every day. Okay, it's, as the sponsor said, it would be unusable. It's not true. If they were to develop the Ord Court homes, they'd have lovely gardens with huge views. It wouldn't upset these guys' views on State Street, and it would be consistent with the majority of the cottages that exist and that are there. And it's lovely. You should come by and have a look. And I've maintained, personally, the Vulcan Stairs Public Gardens for 18 years. So I'm very, very sensitive to removing green space, trees, and everything else. It's just not right, man. State Street is a bucolic, lovely place. What they're talking about doing is replacing one-story little garages with one, two, maybe three stories, and the other one four. It's not right. And what else? The only other big three-story home that's on State Street, it got built about 7 years ago, and it's referred to by the entire neighborhood disparagingly as the BART station. It has a metal roof. It's got, it's just not correct. It shouldn't have been allowed. We should have fought as a neighborhood, which we're doing now, but that shouldn't be used as a precedent for what these guys are trying to build, because it's not in keeping with the cottages on that street. This is a street that came from the earthquake. Those cottages came in like 1906 when the people moved there from the rest of the city and should be maintained. All I have to say.
Thank you. Any other members of the public to speak on the two Ord Court items?
Hi, my name is Chris Wilson. I live in 236 State Street, which is directly opposite, I believe it's 20, the proposed property on 20 Ord Court. I'm actually opposite the building that hasn't been in the plans that were discussed, hasn't been reduced in height after some neighborhood conversations. So that's like a personal concern of mine, is the is in the current plans, the height of 20 Ord Court is still at three stories, which currently in the latest plans that we saw meeting with the developer was that the in the removal of the tree right opposite in the building with a three-story building, I will look out no longer to a tree in a view, but to the third story of that building from my living room and from my balcony. In meeting with the rest of the neighbors, I just want to reiterate our biggest concern is the bulk of the building that is out of keeping with the rest of the buildings on State Street. I had one more note here. I think it's all been covered by everyone else, actually. But that's the scale of the building and the effect of losing trees. The developer has been trying to work with us and get replace the significant tree with some smaller trees on the sidewalk. It's pretty ambiguous. We appreciate the work that they're trying to do with us, but it's so ambiguous as to what that tree would look like or how much a tree would affect the view that it's hard to come to an agreement on that right now without you know, in terms of seeing the plans are the clearest things that we've seen, not the tree replacement.
Okay. And just so you know as well, so under the code, you know, simply the project itself would require the planting of street trees on this frontage, you know, at least two, if not three, and there would be 24-inch box trees of a species usually that developed in consultation with the Department of Public Works, their Bureau of Urban Forestry, for something that would ideally not damage the sidewalk, be survive living in the city, et cetera. So there are some guidelines, just so you know, in terms of the street tree, and it is a requirement already.
Okay.
Thank you. But sorry, one other question. So if the project at 24 Ord were to be reduced as well by one story, that's something that you would then find more supportable for the proposal here, or would you still be opposed to any kind of construction at the rear of this lot?
It's I think if there was a building that went ahead there, then the smaller the height, the less the impact. So if a building is going to go there, my vote would go for the lowest impact, which would be the lowest height.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other members of the public for the two Ord Court projects?
Good morning. I'm Marianne Dresner, and I've lived at 20 Ord Court for many years. As I understand it, the granting of a variance requires that there be... Am I echoing here?
No, you're not. No. You're fine.
Okay. There be exceptional circumstances so that the property owner would sustain real difficulty or hardship if the variance wasn't granted. As I see it in this matter, there will be relatively no difficulty or hardship to the owner if the variance isn't granted. Instead, the owner might be able to construct a smaller home, and someone would be able to live in that home. Also, as I understand it, the granting of the variance requires that it not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. In this case, the construction of the property over the rear yards of what is now 22 and 24 Ord Court, first, will block light into the units at 20 Ord Court and 231 State Street, and from what I understood today from another lady who spoke earlier, also 18 Ord Court. The construction will also block light on State Street, and the construction will be detrimental to the character of the neighborhood. Currently, the neighborhood has a real variety of styles of structures, some very traditional, some mid-century, and one very modern. With the addition of these two very modern structures right on the street with no setback, the whole south side of State Street will be a modern wall slab, and it will thereby diminish the bucolic, quaint character of the street in general. San Francisco is unique because it has unique neighborhoods. These neighborhoods have a mix of type of structures, and these ultra-modern structures will cause the two streets to look like modern fortresses with prison-like walls, and the character of the neighborhood will be forever altered. As I understand it, Proposition M requires that existing housing and neighborhood character be conserved and protected in order to preserve the cultural and economic diversity of the neighborhood. In this situation, the addition of two ultra-modern fortress-like buildings on State Street will greatly alter the neighborhood character. The street is now bucolic with a wide variety of housing. While the applicant says that no landmark or historic buildings will be removed, the applicant instead wants to install a high modern fortress-looking wall where there is now only a 5-foot-high wooden fence, and the quaint character of the neighborhood will be irrevocably changed. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other members of the public to speak on this item?
Hi, my name is Chris Parks, and I'm a resident of 231 State Street. I live in one of the units there. I brought some pictures, and I haven't had a chance to submit them to the planning thing. I just got these recently. But just to give you an idea of State Street side, that this shows you 22 and 24 Ord Court. Actually, I believe that the earlier picture that the project sponsor was pointing to might have been this power pole right here. There might be some disruption in the sidewalk there, I'm not sure. These are the large trees that are, I believe, within the right-of-way distance that are part of the that people have been talking about. They're quite large, and there's at least two of them. I'm worried about time. So those are the large trees that would be removed for State Street. And in fact, I've attended a couple. I do appreciate staff's help in providing a lot of information, and also with the project sponsor and meeting. I've attended a couple of meetings myself. I requested a number of times to know if the city is aware of the significant trees. This was a documentation provided to the city where the documentation shows that there are no significant trees. Apparently, now I've been trying to reach the Department of Public Works. I don't know if they may at some point go out and look at these trees here. So this is the current character of State Street. You can see we have a lot of foliage, a lot of trees. There's a lot of backyards right here to homes that are on museum. This is 2224 Courts. I'm running out of time. If there's any chance to use extra time because there's two properties, I'd certainly appreciate it. This is the south side of State Street. You can see the property. This is the modern structure that they did. This is 231 State Street. This is where the new project is going to go. It's going to create somewhat of a quote-unquote wall as you go from here because there's garages right over here. This is the illustration provided by the project applicant. You can see the new structure, the garages, and the modern building. This contrasts with the other side. This is directly across the street of State Street. And then as far as this variance goes, the map that was provided earlier showed a lot of green space, but I believe that green was just filled in. This is a project. I believe it's going to be mostly pavement. And if you look at this, there's a lot of homes here that abut two streets, and the zoning provides that you cannot fill in the backyards or there's minimums. Now, you can't make it very well on this lot, but I drew lines that show that most all of the homes here only have a building on one end of the street. And if this variance is allowed, it'll provide a basis and a reference to change our whole street. So I'm just asking that we have an opportunity to preserve State Street, and it's going to start with this project. This project will provide a basis to change our entire street. And also it's going to affect me. I can provide more information on the lighting in my home in 231 because I have a light well bathroom that's going to be impacted when they remove those trees and fill in that backyard.
Thank you. Did you have any additional photos there that you did not have the opportunity to put on the overhead?
Yeah, and I'll provide you with a copy of the
That'd
ones that I have.
Thank you.
And also a copy of this tree planting permit. I just wanted to say that the replacement trees are going to be impacted by the utilities because the utilities are going to restrict the height. And also the mid-pattern that the project sponsor said, I can just see what he's saying, that this will be filled down the street. This same pattern will be repeated. If this variance is allowed here, it will be repeated and repeated.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. And if you have extra copies of the photos, it would be great to have them. Appreciate that. And is there any other public comment on this item and on the two ward court items?
Hello. My name is Ari Marcus. I live with my partner at 236 State Street, which has a street address of 88 Museum Way. It's a through lot. And the through lot indeed has a lovely garden on a terraced hill of 45 degrees, as do most of the through lots going to the east of us. I've lived there for 28 years. And one of the reasons I live there is because of the absolutely beautiful and unique character of this neighborhood, which has been stable and which, if you look at the combination of the zoning and the planning code, one might reasonably have assumed would continue that way. What I don't understand is why we are debating a rear lot, an open space rear yard, when in fact It seems to me that we should be debating the ability to create a new structure on State Street according to the Section 134C4C, which says that you may build on opposite ends of a through lot, provided the two adjacent properties are already built. Well, this is a little bit of finessing that, because the two adjacent properties are not built. If you take 24, then yes, the one property is built, but 24 is not built. And if you take 24, then yes, its west side neighbor is built, but the 22 is not built. It seems to me there needs to be a variance first for the construction of a property there. The backyard discussion may be bundled into it, but is secondary to the very erection of the structure, which materially changes the neighborhood. Now, I understand that views are not protected by the planning code. However, views of the public and individuals are considerable, can be considered when a new structure is created on the basis of a variance from the code and the zoning. And it is fairly clear to me that a new home could be constructed lower down on the lot, climbing up the hill, as many others are, that would provide an additional housing. We're talking here about something quite massive, four stories, two-car parking per family. So this lot will have four parking spaces, four bedrooms, a family room, 3.5 baths. It seems to me that the scale of these, were they reduced to something... In fact, this one new building is the size of almost all the buildings that are R2 that run along Museum Way and many of the apartments that are on Museum Way and State Street. So what there is on this lot is essentially the creation of what looks like two RH1 homes on an RH2 lot through the use of zoning, and the creation of enormous value to the owner of 22 and 24 by confiscation of value from owners by use of the variance.
Thank you. So
thank you.
If the height of the buildings both were to be reduced, I mean, they are, you noted they're four stories, but, you know, from State Street, they read as a three-story building because it's downsloping from State Street. But if it was reduced to the two-story mass, would you be any more supportive of the proposal?
Barely. In fact, I've not been involved in these discussions. I have not heard from the developer. The first and only thing I've heard about this is either from my neighbors or from the city. I got all the city materials to 88 Museum Way.
Okay.
At the very first meeting I attended, I raised these objections, and the developer said to me, "So what would you prefer?" I said, "Well, I would prefer actually that you build according to the zoning and the planning code, and that you not build at all." And it was dismissed as out of hand.
At the front of the property, at the Ord Street frontage rather than on the State Street frontage.
That's right.
Okay.
It was dismissed as out of hand. So what I really would like is, at most, a one level on States, which is consistent with the adjacent garages.
Okay.
And somewhat higher than the...
Thank you for your comments.
Appreciate it.
Any other public comment on these items, on the two Ord Court items? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. What I'd like to point out is, you know, having done design and development, you know, in this great city of ours, you know, for the last 17 to 20 years, you know, there's always, as I mentioned before, I mean, we cannot say that we are not impacting the surrounding properties. The goal here is to come up with a compromise, and although we are going to bring two new homes into it. Yeah, I understand that, you know, that the neighbors have long-standing history with this neighborhood, but we would like to bring something back. And what we are bringing back is, by looking at these pictures, the homes across the street are situated, you know, on a steep hill. So therefore, at the bottom of the hill, there is no sidewalk. The sidewalk across, which is us, is being lifted by the tree. It's extremely dark. The tree is into the PG&E wires, which, again, you know, it's just a matter of time. You know, as for myself, you know, it seems already a life and safety hazard. They are leaning in every direction. What we are hoping to do is put two single-family homes. These are family-style homes that are much-needed housing in the city. It's RH2 zone. The sidewalk will be completely repaired. A beautiful new tree is going to be installed. The sidewalk will be well lit, so the only means of traveling across the front of this street or the front of this lot, which is the front of our property, will be improved greatly. There is no sidewalk across the street. As far as how we are impacting the neighboring properties, this is the section that we have. Again, as I mentioned, you know, across the street from the homes, and as you can see, they are in much higher elevation. And we are continuing to work with the neighborhood. It's very important to us. And you know, with my company's track record, that we just don't go in front of the commission, you know, before trying, you know, and exhausting every option. We did number of illustrations showing our neighbors across the street what they would experience, you know, if we were to build these two homes. And as you can see, you know, these are the shaded gray, and you know, some of these pictures were provided by the neighbors, you know, across the street, and we went ahead and superimposed our project, you know, onto the lot so that they understand what is it that they're losing. And as you can see, still the great view of the valley is there. There's a little bit of view of some homes at the bottom of the Ord Court is not there. This is another shot that we see. I mean, this is the existing lot and its current condition. So we are hoping to build two modern buildings. You know, it's going to be fully engineered and all that.
And is that depicting the two-story massing versus the three-story of the current proposal at the...
This is with the two-story massing, I believe. Okay. That's right. But I have to check on that.
And have you worked up plans for the two-story? Because I'd noticed that on the 22 Ord Court, you have all the bedrooms at that top level, which will be eliminated. So have you worked up plans that redistribute those living rooms, the bedrooms elsewhere?
Well, we are working on it. We have a scheme that, you know, we feel that, you know, we can still, you know, I mean, the spaces are not going to be as generous as they are, but I think, you know, to be neighborly and trying to work with the neighbors, I think it's a project that could still become a three bedroom house, maybe a little tighter, but you know, I think, you know, it could still be doable.
And have you looked at that alternative for the 24 Ord Court? And if not, could you explain why that wouldn't be feasible there?
You know, they're almost identical. I mean, I think, you know, it could be feasible. I mean, if we can, I have to talk to my client to make sure it's okay. I mean, we can push and pull the top of the building. I mean, if it's, you know, it's something that we can consider looking into and see whether that's going to be feasible. It's not really my project that I can tell you, but you know, we are open to it.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate everyone for coming out today and expressing their concerns and for being so candid. And you know, when I do ask kind of what would maybe be tolerable there, you know, just trying to gauge appropriately the concerns and what the perceived impacts are. You know, generally, I think that development on through lots can be appropriate. And I feel that it could also be the case here that it's appropriate to develop at the rear.
in particular, giving the steep sloping nature of the lot, it typically makes more sense to develop on the higher side rather than to either excavate or try to climb up the property. So, I can see justifications for a variance. At this point, I'm not able to make a decision. I think that we need more information. In particular, I appreciate finding out today that the project sponsor is willing to look at some revisions that would reduce the massing of the buildings at the rear. I'd also like to find out a bit more from Public Works about their possible review. And if it's in the backlog for their review, I can certainly give a call to some of their staff and see if we can get an early read on that. I'd like to better understand, given that you are seeking a variance to develop where that tree is, I'd like to know a bit more about that tree and whether it's feasible to maintain that in any way and that how that factors in. Certainly we're balancing a lot of demands and a lot of needs here with trying to add housing to the city's housing stock in a zoning district which does allow this additional dwelling unit. And we have a topography which is fairly unique. We have a through lot. There are a lot of moving parts here that they need to be evaluated. The neighborhood notification is out for notice and expires on September 7th. And I think, this is a little bit of an odd circumstance because there are appeal rights. So we have the ability to have the discretionary view to have this item heard at the Planning Commission for neighbors. And there's also appeal right of the variance decision letter that would ultimately be coming down. I think I just want to make it clear to the neighbors who are here that I would support a project at the rear of the property. Not necessarily to the full extent that they are seeking here, but certainly if there are any neighbors who would like this item to be heard by the Planning Commission, I would suggest that they file the discretionary review. At this point, I'm going to continue this item to our next hearing. Would like the sponsor to work up those revised plans of the alternative. If there is a discretionary review filed by the 7th, then we would move the hearing to have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission so the public wouldn't have to come out again on September 24th and then come out at a future DR hearing. We'd want to try to minimize the impacts on everyone's schedule and appreciate everyone taking the time today. So that would be the scenario. If a discretionary review is filed, we would not have the hearing again here on September 24th, but would have a joint hearing at a future date with the Planning Commission. So again, sure, you have a question.
Just clarification. So even though you're continuing the variance hearing, it doesn't continue our date for submitting the date?
Correct. So the discretionary review deadline that's mandated by code of 30 days. Now, certainly, if there are revisions to the project that increase the envelope in any way, that would typically trigger a new neighborhood notification. But if it's simply just taking a story off, then that would not trigger a new notification. I understand that this is not the best process for the neighbors, maybe a bit confusing. So if there are any other questions about this, please ask me or ask the staff planner. But as it stands, the discretionary review deadline would be maintained at September 7th. We would have a hearing here again on September 24th if no discretionary review is filed, and I would make a final decision on the project. And just so everyone knows where I'm standing at this point, I do see justification for a variance, not necessarily to the full extent that they're seeking in this. In terms of the number of stories, that there are need to be some additional maybe depth in the building in order to accommodate three bedrooms or similar kind of habitable quality units at the rear, then that could be understandable. But certainly would like the sponsor, he's already been willing to reduce the story on one of them. We would like to look at the feasibility of that on the second, and also like to get more information from the Department of Public Works about their view on the street tree. Is there another question?
When will the revised drawings be available for public view on the city website?
As project sponsor, when would you be able to have those available? We may not be able to have them uploaded to the website, but if everyone were to request that of the staff planner, we could have the staff planner. Well, we would try to put them up on the website. I think we can achieve that, but if there is some glitch, I would want people to be able to contact the planner to have those plans emailed. So, project sponsor, when do you think you could have revised plans?
I can have revised drawings by mid-next week.
Okay.
Mid to end of next week.
Okay, so that would be in a week, and then you could email those to the planner, and then any members of the public at the end of the next week could, you know, request that from the staff planner, Tina Chang. Another question?
Yeah, not for me per se, but it related, the woman who was asking about the drainage, you said that's not addressed at this one. Is there another specific hearing for that, or that's part of the discretionary? That there would be nothing, no hearing unless we requested.
Well, even the purpose of the discretionary review is looking more at the impacts on neighborhood character of the proposed building. So they would be looking at the massing and the materials in regards to any seismic issues or the underground streams. Those kinds of issues, the seismic issues and the landslide issues are, you know, typically done for a project like this, typically done by the Department of Building Inspection after approval by the Planning Commission or the Planning Department.
Would there be a hearing scheduled, or we would have
to
request one?
No. There may not even be an opportunity for a hearing on that. So
how can we address those?
It'd be contacting the building department plan checker and ensuring that they're aware of all these issues, you know, making the project sponsor aware of it. Okay. So any other questions? I know, appreciate this is a little bit of a peculiar incident, but typically we do try to have the neighborhood notice, the 311s done prior to the actual hearing date. So had a discretionary review been filed, we wouldn't have even held the hearing today, and then we would have continued it to a later date. Hi, question.
Yeah.
Well, maybe so. This is getting a bit more than a question. So, I mean, if you wanted to speak into the microphone, maybe a bit better, so we could record that. But
Andrea Goldman, 230 State Street, and a lot of these pictures were our house. Speaking of changing the look of the neighborhood and the look of the State Street, that I was very surprised to learn that these same group, the SIA, was involved with a development, a very large development going on. I don't know the exact address, but it's also, even though it's going on, there's building on State Street. The units are called something on Museum Way. So I was, very, very surprised when these very large units were being built, and nobody on States had any idea this was going on.
So they're currently under construction?
Very rapidly.
Okay. There are four single-family homes going on a single lot, also visible from the White House.
Okay. So, I mean, it is a separate project than what we're
looking at
today.
Right, but it's also SIA. I mean, your group is involved with it. And, I mean, it's so close to where we live. We were just, like, watching it go up and go, what is going on here?
Yeah,
we had idea because the notice was on Museum Way. So I think there's a pattern here.
Well, we can certainly look into the notification. If it was a code-complying project, then it wouldn't have required as broad of notice.
But they're changing the neighborhood, our little street, so rapidly. I mean, come on.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate the concerns.
And the developers don't even live in San Francisco. I don't think they care.
Thank you for your comments. With that, again, public hearing is closed. They'll be continuing this item to September 24th. And requesting some additional information of the project sponsor. Any further questions can contact department staff. Again, the discretionary review deadline maintains at September 7th. Thank you.
Will you send out a new notice for the continuance to people who weren't able to make this meeting?
So there would be no new notice for the continued hearing, for the hearing on September 24th. It was noticed for this date, so we would be meeting again on September 24th if there's no discretionary reviews filed. If there is a discretionary review filed, there'd be a new notice for that hearing, but it's a very limited notice to abutting properties.
So it's more word of mouth. But there would be a poster up for that property as well, for that discretionary hearing.
If we request a discretionary review, when would that happen? How long a delay is there?
I think they're calendaring now in November, probably, for something that would come in September. And so, again, this item will continued, and we're on to general public comment. If there's any general public comment about items that are not on the calendar today, seeing none, this hearing is closed. We'll reconvene on September 24th. Thank you.